Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Axis Day here at CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Matthew, part of the What's in Hap team, alongside my cohorts here. Today, we have Christina, and we're also going to have a performance from her later today as well. She's a singer, songwriter, and performer. Hi, Christina. How are you today?
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming in today. I'll pass it on to my What's in Hap team for some questions for you.
Sounds good.
Hey, Christina. Besides music and performing, who is Christina? Can you tell us a little more about yourself?
Besides music, nothing. No, I'm kidding. artist. I just love everything creating in art. So I sketch, I read, I try to write novels and fail miserably. and then just friends, family, not too much.
Jane, I believe you.
So I got a question for you. So, crazy. I know. How did you first fall in love with music?
That happened when I was a little girl and I was watching The Little Mermaid.
That was a good TV show.
I remember her singing and wanting to like go up on land and skip the concert and thinking, I'll do the concert for you. And so I sort of fell in love with singing from watching The Little Mermaid and couldn't stop from there. Just was in begged my parents for vocal coaching and was in choirs and all that jazz when I was little.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Which artists or bands inspired you the most when you were growing up?
I was thinking about that right before we started this interview because I always suck at that question for some reason. But I want to say Michelle Branch is one.
Nice.
Because,
Branch.
Goodbye to You. I really fell in love with that song. I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I kind of identified with her. She was young, brunette. I don't know. It kind of made me feel like if she could do it, I could do it. And so I picked up the guitar and started writing music. And that's sort of when I learned that I could write music and fell madly, deeply in love with it. And it's been the food for my soul ever since. And other than her, I would say Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, when I was...
Classics.
Nice,
Classics. And then singer-songwriters, Sarah Bareilles. I really need to figure out how to say her name.
Sarah McLachlan?
Yeah, McLachlan, for sure.
Yeah, nice,
McLachlan. Yeah. All those ones. McLachlan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I have another question for you. Sure. How did you get involved with... How do you say this right? VAMS, Vancouver Adapted Music Society.
So in 2008, I got into a pretty serious car accident and I kind of broke my neck. And when I first came out of surgery, I was fully paralyzed and told I had a 10% chance of walking again.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah. So, but I got reasonably lucky, all things considered, and I am able to walk, although with a limp, and I fall down a lot. But it was through GF Strong Physical Rehabilitation Center. VAMS has a studio set up there. And Dave Symington, who's unfortunately passed on, which makes me really, really sad, was a fantastic guy, and he kept poking me and nudging me to join in with some of the stuff that VAMS did. Because at first I wasn't ready. I was kind of crushed because I have a lot of nerve damage in my left hand and I couldn't play the guitar anymore. And that was like my thing. Like I said, I fell in love with singing, songwriting. It was me and my guitar. And so anytime I had any sort of emotions or whatever, had anything to work through, I would pick up my guitar and do that. And now like the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. And I couldn't do that. So I was hurt for a long time. I'd say for a good 3 years, I thought music was gone from my life. But every once in a while, Dave would just be like, so do you wanna? And one day I finally said yes. And I am so glad I did because it really made me realize that although I couldn't sing and songwrite like I used to. I still could, just in a different way. And yeah, VAMS is spectacular because they're extremely understanding, obviously, and give us opportunities that we might not otherwise be able to get, because being a musician is already a difficult thing in Vancouver or in general, I guess.
Oh yeah.
And then adding on having a disability makes it even more difficult. So I'm really thrilled that I was able to join VAMS and that VAMS exists in the first place.
Wow. Talking more about like VAMS, I'm hoping I'm saying that right.
Yeah, VAMS.
VAMS. Oh wow.
like VAMS, but
VAMS. Yeah, it's like shoe company. How has it supported you over the years?
Essentially like that, just giving me lots of opportunities. They do performances every year, like strong sessions, where they've invited me to come and perform. And I've played at what is it, the Roundhouse venue?
I know there. I performed there.
Yeah,
I went there to go watch a performance. It was really good.
Yeah, it's a great venue. And they find venues because, like I said, it's extra. One of the reasons why it's extra difficult for people with disabilities to perform is because stages tend to be up, and not everyone is physically able of going up the stairs to get onto a stage. So VAMS is really great at finding venues for us that anyone can perform at. And they also have hired somebody really awesome. His name's Bryden. And he's a fantastic producer, and so I've started working with him, and we're developing an album, and it's way late in the game in my life, but better late than never. Gonna hopefully get my first album actually produced and done. So yeah,
wow,
they're fantastically supportive.
Do you mind telling us a little bit more about that album?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's. Right now, it's kind of shifting away from what I've normally done, because I'm very singer-songwriter, kind of been like indie folk kind of stuff, like Sarah McLachlan and all those sorts of stuff. But we're going a bit more, I'm hesitant to say electronic. I guess it's more of like an R&B vibe. Maybe a little bit of house influences. It's a lot of produced in, what's it called, like in the box. Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited about it because it's something different. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I'm getting to stretch my creative chops and work with, like I said, a really great producer who helps me write the songs as well, obviously. And hopefully it'll be something really great for everyone.
Who inspired you to take that kind of different musical path or like sound?
I kind of always loved house music, actually, especially vocal house. And what I really liked about house, and it's not like EDM or like techno. House is, I guess, dance music, but it has like a lot of disco vibes, a lot of jazz influences, a lot of like, you can kind of have a lot of different genres influenced, and it's just a lot of fun. And so I enjoy listening to that music a lot, and I enjoy R&B and like soul and jazz especially. So since I listened to it all the time, I was like, why not give it a go?
Another question. Who has inspired you the most on your journey and why?
I'm going to go with Dave Symington, actually, because he's the guy who got me back on track when I thought everything was gone.
He is.
And did I explain who Dave is? He's one of the people who actually started the program, him and Sam Sullivan, got together and started Vancouver Adaptive Music Society. And he's a quadriplegic and a drummer. And he had these cool gloves that he put on, and he played, what are they called, octopads, I think?
Octopads.
Yeah, and was able to play. And so he actually was my drummer for more than a few of the performances that I've done. Yeah, so Dave was definitely a very, very big influence on my post-injury trajectory. And I guess that's the majority of my life at this point.
I'll pass it off to Jaden.
Oh, okay. So your voice is incredible, powerful, and emotional. How has music changed your world, maybe, or just changed who you are as a person?
It's hard to say changed, because it's who I've been always. I really don't remember a time that I wasn't. I think before The Little Mermaid, I was briefly into being a dancer, but then once I realized singing was a thing, it's just kind of synonymous. Christina equals music. It's who I am. So I don't know that I would say changed me at all, but it's definitely influenced who I am as a person, as a whole. Like, I have a lot of musician friends. Anytime I need any sort of therapy, it's music.
Has your relationship with music changed since? Because you mentioned earlier that you had like a period where you just get a little bit lost, and like your connection was kind of broken with the music a little bit. So has it changed since you got like more full steam in?
Yeah, I guess in a sense it did. Pre-injury, I was going to college. My dad was very practical. He wanted me to get like a practical job, and I was very adamant, like, no, I like music. So I moved out and started going to college, and I think I did 1 year of general studies that included some music, and then I did like a year of focusing on music. And and I had a plan to go to jazz, to Capilano, the Capilano Jazz Program. And I was starting to do a lot of open mic nights, and I was busking a lot and that sort of thing. But then post-injury, I had to sort of rethink how I do everything, because I don't have nearly as much stamina. I don't, I can't play and write the same as I used to. So yeah, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
You and me both.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it changed a little bit, just in how I have to think about what I do.
Kind of like other approach a little bit?
Yeah, and I need to ask for help more. Mm. It used to just be me, but now I kind of need people who, like instrumentalists or... because backing tracks aren't really that fun. But it's hard for me to play on my own. I can kind of play the ukulele a little bit, but it really sounds a lot better now when I have other people backing me, which has actually been kind of awesome, to be honest. I've learned that collaborating with people is a really cool, fun experience. You kind of have to leave your ego at the door, and you end up creating something completely new that you never would have being able to make by yourself, and usually it's awesome and extra cool. So
I just totally understand that. And I believe Raymond, you have a question.
Yeah, sure. You call music food for the soul. Can you share a moment when someone's reaction to your music really touched you?
There was for Women's Day a few years ago, I was playing at the Kulch with Sarah Jickling and Krista Couture, who are two phenomenal artists. And I was singing the song Lost and Found, which I'll be singing later. Mm-hmm. And there's a point where I sort of get quiet and I build up and kind of hold the note, and then it gets like I just go silent for a second. And it's a really emotional part of the song for me. And anyway, in the silence, somebody in the audience went, "Wow." That was like, "Oh, yay." So that really made me feel nice. Because it was just like so clear in like the dead silence. So, yeah, I mean, and also there have been times when people tell me that they identify with the content of my music, that it really, and that's like the biggest compliment, I think, as a writer, is when somebody is able to find their own meaning in their own, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like it makes them feel good and or better in some way from their own direction, even if it's not the same meaning that you put in the song. That's always a wonderful thing.
Like seeing other people's reflection on your work helps you reflect on your own work as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
I see. I'll pass it off to Alice. I believe you have a question here for her.
What's your creative process like? How do your songs usually come to life?
Usually, I say it like I speak through the muse, where I just start fiddling with some chords on the ukulele, or I can kind of play very basic chords on the piano as well. And then I just start humming along, and then the next thing I know, I've written a song. It sort of just all falls out at once, is usually how I write. But especially collaborating with people now, I'm learning how to write differently, where you start a project, but then you have to come back to it. And that can actually be really difficult, because you're not necessarily in the same frame of mind when you come back to the song. I went and saw an artist talk once. There was a painter, and afterwards they had like a Q&A with her, and somebody asked her at one point, what do you do when you're not inspired? And she said, "I paint through the dark. What else can I do?" And that really stuck with me, because I was like, that makes sense. Like, even if you're not necessarily feeling that inspiring passion that, you know, creates songs so quickly, just do it anyway. And it was really quite interesting to see what I was able to create painting through the dark. Actually, Lost and Found was written that way. It wasn't one of the songs that just fell out all at once. It was one that I had to come back to a few times. And personally, it's one of my favorite songs. So, yeah.
Jane, I believe you have a question.
So when you sorry, voice cracked a little bit. My voice is randomly, does it?
No, all of us. Happens to all of us.
So when you're writing a song, do you think about how it will sound live, or do you start with the story?
I guess that's a good question. I think it's more the story. No, I guess, sorry, that's
Does
kind of
change?
Both. I kind of don't think about it. I just hum and sing and something happens. Like, I suppose I should think a little bit more deeply on it. Actually, one of my really good friends, who's also a singer-songwriter, we were planning on getting together and workshopping music together, and like kind of dissecting music and to better ourselves as songwriters. So I can do that more, think about it more, and hopefully better my craft in doing so. Thinking more about what it might sound like live, what vibe I want, rather than just sort of letting it happen. I should start to do that soon.
Raymond, I'll pass it off to you.
Okay. Were you nervous the first time you performed on stage?
Probably.
Do you still get nervous by chance?
No. I actually usually don't get that nervous. I might get a little bit like zoned in, and like I've noticed that sometimes people will talk to me and I can't really even pay attention to them, because I guess my brain is already kind of focusing in on the performance. So I get a little nervous, but not like not like super jittery or like people who feel like they're going to throw up or something. Yeah, I don't get like that at all. I've always loved performing, and I've kind of always been a bit of a ham for the cam, and I've enjoyed being on stage. being in the spotlight.
Is it more that kind so of bright, like, you know? Healthy excitement kind of nerves, I guess?
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
It's like you can turn into another person when you're on stage. You can just become another person, and then when you go off stage, like, phew.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, like this inner confidence comes out. Not always, but sometimes. And I love it when that happens. Like, well, I'm going to say that now, and then this performance coming up, I'm going to be, like, super nervous. I've jinxed it.
And have any artists or mentors help shape your voice, either musically or professionally?
Judith Rabinovich was my vocal coach for a short period of time, and she was magical. She changed my voice, and I was doing more than I knew I was capable of. And she was funny too. She would poke me. It was like she pressed a button, and I would sing better. It was the coolest thing.
Kind of like an off switch and on switch. Yeah, like, a little bit. Button, like, sing. Oh, nope. Sing. Like,
yeah, and then I want to say my good friend Christina Emmett. She's definitely shaped my music a lot. She's a singer-songwriter, I think I already said that. And I really admire her work and what she does. And she kind of inspires me to keep writing and keep doing more, I guess. Yeah.
Fair enough. I'll pass it off to Jaden with another question here.
All right. Getting better at this. What does it mean to you to make music as someone with a disability, and relate that in the work? Confusing question, but yeah.
What do you think represent that in your work?
Represent in your work.
Sorry, what is it like to make music as a person with a disability?
And represent that in your work,
You know, I haven't done that much. I do have one song called Dancing with the Flames. Ooh, that's kind of about pain. And like a lot of music is, or a lot of themes are like, you'll get better soon. Like everything will be better soon. But there are some things that don't get better. And so Dancing with the Flames is sort of about learning how to live with something that sucks and dance with the flames, like dance with the pain kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I don't know why, because like I said, usually songwriting for me is working through the things that I've gone through, but it's just, I just haven't felt the need, I guess, the desire to relate it too much to my disability. That's an odd place to just sort of stop, but
we'll divert. Yeah. Raymond, I believe you have a question.
Okay, after your spinal cord injury, you had to find new ways to perform. Mm-hmm. What did that journey teach you about yourself and your creativity?
I guess it taught me how to be more flexible. I'm not really sure how to answer that one. Because prior to my injury and post-injury, I don't know that I changed. Like, I changed a little, but not that much. So, and also, like I said, having the disability, I don't relate it that much to my work. The main way is being more flexible, I think, in that I had to find a different way to perform, to write. Sorry, that's not the best answer to that one.
No,
it's a tricky question.
Yeah, it tricked me.
Since coming back from because the time you almost stopped music, you mentioned earlier, have you ever like had another moment like that where you thought about stepping back again? Or since coming back to music, you just like happy with where you are and you just want to keep on going?
Yeah, pretty much. There's supposed to, like, there was a bit of an ebb and flow. Like, there was a point where I was really focusing on music and I was doing a lot of shows and getting out there a lot more. And then there was a time where I sort of pulled back and I was focusing on writing more, like I said, working on novels and short stories and that sort of thing. But that period after my accident for about that 3 years was the only point in my life where I actually thought music was gone. Mm. Once it came back, I sort of realized that it actually didn't even really go away. It was just sort of waiting for me to figure, figure it out and kind of allow it to be present in my life again.
Has writing short stories or the novels changed the way you looked at approaching music at all?
Not too much, no. What affects my lyric writing more is trying to write poetry. Mm. And that's one of the ways I actually songwrite is I'll start to feel super emotional about something and then I kind of free write poetry. And so I'm not actually writing a song. I'm just writing, it's like a very wordy journal. Mm. And then I'll take that later on and sort of turn it into a song, kind of pick out the parts that I feel are would fit and kind of mix and match it around. So it's, I think it's more my poetry than, and reading. Reading will affect it because I find that I think better. I have a better vocabulary when I read more. It's exercising the brain, I think.
Before I pass it off to Alice with another question, do you mind if I ask, what are you reading right now?
Fantasy? I always read fantasy. I'd love to say something like super fantasy. Literary and like highbrow, but no. I love reading fantasy. So I just finished the third book in a new series. I think the author's name is Rebecca Yaros. The first book is called Fourth Wing, and it's about dragons and dragon riders, and I loved it. I was really enjoying it. And then right now I'm rereading a series, and I'm totally brain farting on the name of the author. But the first book is called The Glass Throne, Throne of Glass, something about a glass throne. And again, yeah, fantasy.
Was it Game of Thrones? There's a lot of different
things. I love fantasy, but Alice, I'll pass it off to you with the question.
How do you care for your well-being while still showing up fully for your music and your audience?
Sorry, how do I care for my well-being?
While still showing up fully for your music and your audience.
Oh, yeah, that's hard. That can be really hard. Over the years, because I have chronic neuropathic pain because of the spinal cord injury. And over the years, unfortunately, it's been getting worse and worse and worse. So it's become harder and harder to always show up. And a really frustrating thing is that I can't always show up. Sometimes the pain is just so strong that I can't leave the house. Like, it's just not going to happen. And even if I did, it wouldn't be a good thing showing up. So the best thing I can do is just try very hard to pace to make sure that I don't, that I don't plan anything else ahead of something. So like we're doing this today. Like I make sure that I don't like have a big day yesterday kind of thing. And apologize a lot because I was late, and that was partially because I was in a bit of pain and I needed to change something to make sure that I would be able to last all the way through.
That kind of comes to my next question. How do you think the music industry could better support artists with disabilities and create more accessible spaces and environments and such?
Well, definitely accessible stages is a big one. Yeah. That's sort of like the first thing. And it's accessible, what am I trying to say? Like for audiences, like just getting, because not everyone, like not even every venue is open to the audience. Like people with disabilities can't necessarily even go see the show. Right. So definitely venues is a big thing because just a creating a space. And then I suppose, and this goes for everyone, fair pay.
Yeah.
I know it's really difficult. Like a lot of times they want to do like for experience and blah, blah, blah. But I think it really devalues artists and it devalues the market if you're not standing up for yourself and making sure that you get paid a lot. But even if you did stand up for yourself, sorry, that's not a really good way of putting it. Even if you did like try, they won't, that means they might not necessarily even take you on,
right.
That sort of thing. And I was learning from Bryden too about a different way. Oh gosh, what was it? Something about like you have to pay and then,
oh, really?
And then you sort of make it back through ticket sales or something.
I've learned about that.
Which isn't necessarily doable for everyone.
Yeah,
venues can be pricey sometimes.
Yeah, they really can. And then I don't know. I suppose. It can be really fast paced a lot of time. And so relaxing on that a little bit would be really helpful. Like the one thing I'm really grateful with VAMS is that I don't have to worry if I'm a little bit late. It's they're not going to like breathe down my throat, nor are they like on top of me all the time and making things even harder for me.
It helps.
Yeah, it does. Even just that helping the mental space helps you perform better.
I don't understand. I want to ask you a question regarding a little bit on terms of what do you dream in a musical sense that you haven't done yet? So what are your musical goals and in the future that you want to tackle? Like you mentioned your new album is something different. Is there anything else that you kind of want to do after that, potentially?
We were just talking about possibly doing some covers. Could be a lot of fun to do that. Taking like dance songs and turning them into like more chilled out acoustic things and just playing around and having fun that way would be a lot of fun. And also I have always really wanted to do a jazz album. Okay. So maybe one day that might happen. But yeah, right now I'm more focused on this current album.
That's fair enough. Jaden, I'll pass it off to you.
Let's see. Okay. If you could collaborate with any artist, past or present, who would it be and why? Any artist.
Well, that's a good question.
I suck at these ones.
I mean, past
that's
or present.
That's a tricky one.
Go for it.
I actually think I'd say Sarah Bareilles because she is phenomenal. Like, she is an extremely talented songwriter, and vocally, she is just. She's actually a little too perfect, so she came. I saw her perform here in Vancouver once, and it was I think at the Rio. It's like it's a small little venue.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that place. Yeah.
And she was like perfect. Like I don't think there was even like the slightest even tiny bit of a tone like pitch out of tune kind of thing. So I definitely feel like she could teach me a lot how to. Better my craft.
She'd be a good teacher.
Raymond?
Number
12. What do you hope people feel or take away from your music, especially those who may be going through hard times?
I do hope that people connect with my music, that like I kind of said earlier, that they find their own meaning within my music and find some comfort in it, I would hope. Or, you know, some of my songs are just kind of light and fluffy and airy, and so I kind of hope that maybe it just makes them feel a little better. Like it just a nice Crazy song that deal. A little yeah. bit of a smile is yeah. always a good thing.
Brightens people day up.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. What's one fun or surprising thing about you that fans might not know?
Oh gosh.
Let's see.
That they might not know.
Yeah, something fun and fun. Surprising.
Surprise.
Fun? Me?
I don't know. I mean, you at least can have like one fun thing that
fun
you could say.
I think either fun or surprising. Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I like turtles. I like swimming with turtles. I think they're the coolest thing. I don't know what to say.
I love turtles.
I mean, that's pretty good. Turtles is pretty good.
I've seen them. They're cool, yeah. yeah.
They got like hard shells, and, you know.
Shush you. Would have helped if you prepped me on that one, because on the spot, I don't know.
I'll take the blame for that one.
Okay.
And finally, I just wanted to ask, is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners, since it is Global Accessibility Awareness Day? Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on that note? That's a really... I didn't prep on that one either, but my bad. I'll take the blame on that one.
Matthew, I think you're like overwhelming here.
Yeah, my bad. Take me out of this room. Take me out of the studio.
Sorry, what was the question again then? It was...
It's Global Accessibility Awareness Day. In terms of that, is there anything you want to share to our listeners that might be listening because of that very reason, I guess?
Fans is great.
Yeah.
I think that's the best answer.
Yeah. No, I mean it. And it's for everyone with disabilities. So, and there's a lot of different programs involved in it. And we are very lucky to have them. I went to... a seminar once, and some people from the States came in, and they were surprised to find out about this program. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in a lot of the world, you know, acquire an injury or I suppose even, you know, are born with one or whatever, but they're just tossed out on their own, and that's it. Like, they're not given anything. Mm. So we're extremely lucky that here in Vancouver, we actually have a plethora of stuff, too. It's not just FAMS. There's, like, the gardening one. There's disabled sailing. There's, like, the hiking one where they stick you in a fun little chair thing and wheel you through the forest.
Oh, that's cool.
I did that once. That was a lot of fun. Paddleboarding. Like, there's a lot of different activities that we can take advantage of, and I definitely recommend taking advantage of them. Because even I can just get stuck in my apartment sometimes, and that's no good for the mental health. So get out there and take advantage of this.
Is VAMS easy to find online if someone's interested?
Yes, it is. Is it VAMS.org?
Yeah.
Okay.
VAMS.org, there you go.
We would type that up.
You're performing later today. Mm. Do you mind to tell us a little bit about the songs you're going to play later?
Yeah, I'm going to do three covers and three originals, and I decided to keep the set a little more chill, so just to be a little soft, little kind of acoustic thing.
Thank you, Christina Sheldon.
You're very welcome. Oh, and then Bryden Viano. I should have asked how to say that beforehand. We'll be playing. He's my accompanist today, and he's fantastic.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
That was... We have Christina Sheldon playing later today for Access Day. This is CITR 101.9 FM.